All righty. Well, I didn't have a chance to promote this or announce this much in advance because I hadn't made up my mind what I was going to do. But for some time, I've been wanting to get Brother Dave Peach to speak to our church. So I decided to plug him in this morning. Of course, he's busy making his way through Bible college and working. So the opportunities to come down are limited. So I knew they would probably be here on Christmas. So we decided today that he would have the opportunity to teach. I told him, you can teach the adult class. You can preach to them. You can do whatever you want. I said, just don't split my church. That's the only thing I ask. I told him, if anybody splits it, I want it to be me. So don't come in here and do it. So, and Brother Dave, I appreciate you. He's finishing up, and he's going to be not graduating this May. I think one more semester maybe. Well, about two more semesters. Maybe three. Who knows? But whatever the Lord's timing is, we'll just take it. So come on up and teach the Bible to us, brother.
Can I get that, Corbin? Morning. I was kind of nervous when he first asked me, and as most people would, teaching or preaching in front of anyone. Let's start out with a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you for this day you've given us. I pray that you'd be with me as I teach. I pray that I will be everything that they need this morning. Be with us this morning. Meet with us. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. I was trying to think of what I wanted to teach or preach, or because he had said I could do any, so I said I might as well just combine it all, you know? So I'm going to do a little bit of preaching, a little bit of teaching, a little bit of Bible study. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, a very familiar verse. I'd like to take a little bit of different angle. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Just real quick, I was reading a book the other day about how to become a good public speaker. You know, I'm trying to plug in and find out what I need to do to become a good public speaker. It said, I'm already down 1-0. All right. So you take a handful of marbles and stick them in your mouth. You pull them out one at a time. When you lose all your marbles, you're a good public speaker. This morning I just want to show you a couple of interesting things about God and how at this time of season we really need him. We'll just start out. Number one, God works behind the scenes to provoke and or make us rely on him. I remember as a little kid, my dad would, we had a bunk bed, and he'd stick me on the top of the bunk bed, and he'd be like, "All right, jump." I'm just like, "Huh?" Because as a little kid, the top of a bunk bed is a long ways. And I'm just like, "Uh-uh." And he's like, "Jump." You know, and it took a long time for him to provoke me or make me jump and rely on him. And sometimes I wonder how God, how he looks down at us and he's just like, "Why don't you rely on me? I've got everything you need." Second thing, God's greatest desire for us as Christians is to need him. Let's turn to the book of Judges. Judges 6, chapter 6. Looking in verse 1. Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years." Here we have a story of the children of Israel, how God, he just took and handed, it said he delivered them. Now, when someone delivers something, it's in person normally, or they send it through mail, but God can do anything he wants. He's in charge. So it says here that he delivered the Israelites to Midian. Why did he do that? It says because they sinned against him. If you look further down in verse 6, the Bible says, "And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." 6 verses later, they cried out to God. Is it any wonder why God delivered them to the Midianites? He wanted them to cry unto him. And then he took care of them. Number 3, God craves our attention. Example, what does every woman crave? Chocolate. Money too. I found out. Love you, babe. Just as everyone has, something that every once in a while they crave. I wonder if God looks at us sometimes and craves us talking to him. Just says, "Oh, I wish they would talk to me. I wish they would pray to me." A great man once said that he didn't want to get to heaven and see a huge warehouse full of riches and treasures and stuff and ask God, what are those? Oh, those were yours, but you didn't ask for them. And another example, a missionary, George Mueller. I don't know if you've ever heard of him or you know about him, but he was a missionary to England. And he started an orphanage and had a great work. But one of the things he did, he said, I want to be like no other person has ever needed God. And he didn't work a job. He took and prayed and directly relied on God for everything, every single one of his needs. He prayed it down. He never worked a job in his whole time of being a missionary in England. And God met his needs. Number 4, God brings things or tragedies into our lives to get our attention and bring us closer to him. Not all the time is it he's trying to get our attention, but sometimes it's he's craving, he wants us to be closer to him. Example, say maybe you get in a car accident and God's trying to get your attention. He's trying to tell you to wake up. Or say he may give you cancer. There's a deacon in our church, great godly man. He sings in the choir. Know him real well. He's one of my dad's friends. His name's Clyde Crutchfield. And he had, just out of the blue, went for just a regular doctor checkup, and he had cancer. Like, I think it was in his brain, next to his spinal cord or something. And he went from clean bill of health, very, very successful car salesman. And next thing you know, he's at Mayo Clinic on his back. Was he a wicked man? No. He was a great godly man. But when Brother Scott, my pastor, one time, he was talking about how he went to see Brother Crutchfield. And when he went and saw him, he just said, he just totally encouraged Brother Scott. And he was just like, God is awesome. God is so good. And he said that was one of the most incredible times of his life and how he got close to God. And sometimes God will bring things our way just to get them close to them. Another example, losing a child. In our church in the past, probably 4 or 5 years, there's been, 40, 50 families that have lost either a newborn or one of their children, not very old. And you say, you look at that and you wonder, why would God do that? To bring us closer to him. God can do anything he wants. He's in control. He has the right. He's a sovereign God. God is a sovereign God. He has the right to do anything he wants to do. And when he wants to take a child away from you, he's got the right to do it. And sometimes he'll do that to bring us closer to him. One of the families that Brother Scott uses as a total example, they had a little four-month-year-old girl, and just a brief moment of tragedy, and she was dead. And The mother was standing with her in her arms, and she looked at my pastor and said, "God is so good." And the story that she had behind it, she told later that she was in college under Mrs. Marlene Evans before she passed away, and how Mrs. Evans had one day she'd always come into class all jovial and just excited person, and one day she came in real solemn, and she pointed at a row and said, "One of you is going to lose your husband, one of you is going to get cancer, and one of you is going to lose a child." And she pointed at that lady and said, "You're going to lose a child. What are you going to do when that time comes?" And she said, "I purposed in my heart to get close to God, so when that time came, I'd be ready for it." And it came, and she was ready for it. I told God that He can do whatever He wants in my life, but He will never have to do something to get my attention. And I think that's something that all of us need to put in our minds and live in our lives, is God can do anything He wants, but God, You've got my attention.
Amen.
You don't have to slap me upside the back of the head to get my attention. I'm listening. Whatever You want, I'm here. Number five, God is a jealous God. Exodus 25, it says, "For I am the Lord thy God, I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Here He's talking about He's visiting the iniquity. God is a jealous God. He expects us to do right. He doesn't, when the Bible says we're either on God's side or man or Satan's side. Joshua 24:15 says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Verse 19, it says, "For He is a holy God and a jealous God." You're either on God's side or Satan's God. We provoke God to jealousy. At the end of Exodus 25, it said that visiting the iniquity of fathers unto the third and fourth generation. It says there that God will take your iniquities and pass them down to your third and fourth generation because of he's a jealous God. And 1 Kings 14:22, the Bible says, "And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked Him to jealousy with their sins that they had committed above all that their fathers had done." It says they did it above what their fathers had done. God is a jealous God. He wants you to be focused on Him.
Amen.
He wants your total, undivided attention on Him. And a lot of times we get carried up in jobs and for me, school, and still putting your walk with God in there. I heard one time a great example of that. You know how all the time we want to just find a place to plug God into our lives where we need to put God there and plug everything else into God. We need to form our lives around God instead of trying to fit Him in our schedule. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 21. Bible says in verse 21, "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." We're either on God's side or Satan's side. Bottom line, we provoke God to jealousy. Things we do, things we say, God gets jealous. Say, for instance, we say something we shouldn't. God gets jealous that good words aren't coming out of our mouths. When we see something we shouldn't, God gets jealous that we aren't putting right things in our mind.
Right. Right.
Joshua 24:19, for he is a holy God. I think, as you know, most teenagers don't realize how much God is a holy God. And he wants, even as teenagers and kids, he wants us to be holy. And I mean, as a kid growing up, you know, getting caught up in, you know, whatever was going on, or sports and whatnot, and not all the time did I remember to take time to be holy. It's an awesome song, "Take Time to Be Holy." Speak oft with thy Lord. And sixthly, all God wants is for us to acknowledge that without him, we can do nothing. In Judges 6:6, it talked about how the Israelites cried unto God. And they had, God had delivered them to the Midianites. And it took God slapping them upside of the back of the head for them to realize, hey, I need God. In John 15 and verse 5, let's all turn there. Bible says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. I have that underlined in my Bible. Whenever I think I got everything under control, whenever I think that, you know, everything's going smooth in my life, I always come back to John 15:5. And fall on my face and say, God, I can't do anything without you. I can't do anything. It's a great example. There's a man in our church. His name is Bill Boyd. He was a pastor down in Virginia. And he'd pastored down there he's a Hiles Anderson graduate. And he pastored down there for a while. And he was doing working on their church or doing a side job or something, and they were 29 stories up. Someone pulled the wrong lever and dropped 29 stories and landed him right on his head. He's in a wheelchair, paralyzed from pretty much chest down, but his dear wife Cricket is a wonderful example of this. Without Cricket, Brother Bill can't do anything. She has to help him get dressed in the morning. She has to bathe him. She has to help him go do, you know, normal everyday functions. And without Cricket, Bill can do nothing. She has to help him get in the car. She has to help him get in and out of his wheelchair. Without her, he can do nothing. If she doesn't give him his pills that he needs, he'll die. If she walked out of his life, he would die. And if we don't realize that that's how we are with God, we can't breathe. Amen. Without God.
Right.
There's not one thing that we can do. I couldn't get up this morning if it wasn't for God. And sometimes we take it lightly that everything we do is because of God. Everything, the clothes I have on is because of God. The wife God gave me is because of God. I mean, how else would you explain a 3-year-old girl hopping on a bus, coming to church, and then the whole church ends up, and then the whole family gets coming to church? It's God. And how two people can meet off a long distance, it's God.
Amen.
There's a good little saying, and I'll end with this, that I heard. In the morning, if your feet hit the ground first, you're depending on yourself. If your knees hit first, you're depending on God. All God wants is for our attention. He just wants us to to realize that we need Him, that we need to depend on Him, and that everything comes from Him, by all things are from Him, and He's the reason why we're here. He wants to hear from us. I think too often we get caught up in our busy schedules and we forget to pray. We forget to talk to God. You know, I just made a ritual just starting out every morning. Ask God for things you already got. Turn on the hot water. God, give me hot water. You already know it's going to come out. But He gave it to you. Might as well ask for it. God, help my car to start. That is a true prayer. But help the car to start. You know, I got gas in it. I got oil in it. And, you know, it's going to start. Turn the key. It starts up. It may sputter a little bit down the road, but it goes. Now, I think too often in our lives we forget to pray and how important prayer is in our lives and helping, showing God that really we really do need Him. And with everything we do, we need to include God in it. We don't need to leave God, especially this time of year. You know, all the presents, passing out the presents, festive time of year, we do not need to forget how much we need God. Fun with that.
Well, I'm sitting there rejoicing in my heart, thinking, what a wonderful topic to close out the year on and to look into the beginning of a new year. You say, Brother Jerry, I didn't incorporate God much in my life in 06. Well, how'd it go? Let me tell you this, it could go a whole lot better. You know, this is a great turning point. Just in a few days, we're going to take all the calendars off the wall, and I'm going to take my appointment books and retire them and bring in the new ones. And it's a great time to just start over. And Brother Dave, thank you for that. What an important time in our life to decide that we're just going to incorporate God in every aspect of our life. He said so many good things, but I love that where he said, we're trying to plug God into some place in our life. We need to put God in the middle of our life and plug everything into Him. If that's all we got a heat this morning. And that wasn't all we got, but that was excellent. Think about that. Are you trying to at this point just plug God in somewhere? You know, He's a little... You know, Sunday morning we'll try to plug Him in for an hour, or we'll plug Him in two or three times a day. It's a great time in your life when you get that point where He becomes everything and you plug it all into Him. So, well, this is good. We're going to go ahead and dismiss. We're a little ahead of schedule, but that's good because we have to rearrange the front of the church for our cantata during our morning service. We'll start at 10:30 in our morning service. We're going to start out with the choir, and they're going to present a cantata, and then right after that we're going to bring the Christmas message. And what you need? Cards. Thank you very much. All righty. On the back table to the right, when you leave the auditorium, you go down there to the right. This would be a great time for families of the church. Instead of our church families having to spend a ton on stamps, we just give them the opportunity to bring their cards here. And on the table back there is stacks of cards. And if you regularly attend here, you might want to go back there and check, because there probably is a stack of Christmas cards for you. Amen. Let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed and meet back in here just in about 20 minutes. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the opportunity, Lord, that we've been given. What a blessing, Lord. What a blessing. And Lord, thank You for the preacher that You sent to us this morning, who helped redirect during a busy time where it's easy, Lord, to even forget to plug You in somewhere, to redirect our attention towards heaven, towards the God of heaven. And I pray, Lord, that You would have our attention, Lord, this coming week and also in the year to come. May 2007, Lord, just give us a fresh vision, a fresh anointing, a fresh relationship. I pray, Lord, that there would just be for many of us, a rededication, for some of us, a turning point, where all of a sudden you once again become what you ought to be in our lives. And we pray and ask, Lord, that you'd bless the service that will follow. In Jesus' name, amen.